Today's lesson is about living committed, living devoted to our Creator and His way of life. Our memory scriptures are Revelation 3 and verse 11. Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have, so that no one may take your crown." It's an instruction that Christ gives to His church in Philadelphia. Hold fast is largely a description of what it means to live committed. Our other memory verse is Psalm 37 and verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." That's not just an instruction, it is a promise and an emphatic one. I'd like to ask all of you, what does it mean to you to be committed? What does it mean to be committed? Thrown into an insane asylum or something? Yes. To stick with something no matter what. Any other descriptions, Kev? Giving up. Not giving up.
You're not straying onto another path.
You're not straying off onto another path, right? Yes.
You stay with it until it's all the way completed.
Yes, exactly. Stay with it till it's all the way completed, finished, to the end. How many of us have a clear vision of that finish? Should have. I mean, we practice it weekly in the weekly Sabbath. We practice it annually in God's holy days. God does many things in His Word and the practice of following Him that helps us to see what that finish is, helps us understand it, make it clear. Being committed to that plan, it largely means to be loyal to it, recognizing it fully, to be dedicated to it, devoted to it, and never betraying it, never veering off that path. Another definition for being committed is being steadfast or unswerving, unwavering. Individuals that we are committed to should be able to count on us, right? Do you have committed relationships right now? Are you committed in certain relationships in your life? Anyone want to share any of those commitments? Yes, Kevin?
To our parents.
To your parents, absolutely. How about to your friends? You're developing some of those commitments right now. You're sharing that path, at least for 1 week right now. That path and that journey extends far beyond this week. And hopefully you're beginning some relationships now that you could be committed to for the rest of your life. What are some really big commitments that we make in life?
Marriage and stuff.
You want to elaborate on the stuff? No, don't. Kara? I'm sorry? Baptism? Yeah, those are two of the biggest commitments you will make in your life. Baptism is a yes, Robbie?
College.
College is another one. Education? Any others? Okay. I mean, you say child rearing. Once you decide, once you're married, to have a child, that's for the rest of your life. It's not just until they get to be 18 or 22 and leave the house. Talk to some of our older parents whose children have left the house. They're still parents. And they're just as concerned and just as committed to them as they were when they were living with them. It doesn't end at that point in time. In fact, it intensifies in many ways. Commitments to friends, as we talked about. Commitments to job and career. Dedicated goals, things you want to achieve with your careers. All those are big. But the two biggest ones, as I mentioned, are marriage and baptism. Baptism is an eternal commitment. It's actually a confirmation of a commitment. Marriage is for the rest of your life, or as long as the two of you shall live. Let me ask you a question. Are any of you concerned about either of those two commitments? Should be. Let's just take one of them. I mean, the divorce rates are, being what they are, half of all marriages ending in divorce, and marriage rates themselves within our country and the world dropping at alarming rates. Are you a little concerned whether you will remain committed to that marriage or not, or whether the individual you will marry will also remain committed? How many of you here are a little concerned about that? Yeah, it should be. It's a very deep concern. Now, how do you know? How do you know emphatically, without any doubts, that you will be committed to that marriage? How do you know you'll be committed? How do you know you'll never give up? Exactly. If you're committed to God's way, God is the designer of marriage. Just like he's your creator, he created marriage. It's his institution. If you want to know if you're going to hold on to it, if you want to know what you're getting into, you've got to have a relationship with him first. When is your marriage commitment made? When do you decide to become committed to marriage? When you put this on? When you say, I do? When is that commitment made? It's made much earlier. You got to know what you're getting into. You don't make the commitment once you see somebody you think you may want to marry, or even after you engage it. That's more of a confirmation of the commitment. You've recognized well in advance how important the commitment in marriage is, and you've prepared yourself for it. That's what keeps you now in these critical years, so you will have something to give, a special something to give to your mate when God matches you up. You got to make that commitment well in advance. What about your commitment to God? I mean, given what's happened in religions all over the world, and especially within our country becoming more and more secular, are you a little bit concerned about this eternal commitment that you'll make to your Heavenly Father? Should be. It's a big, big, big decision. I want to tell you a little story. We were at the Feast of Tabernacles in Italy in 1987, and we were touring the city. There was a transit strike that day, the very day we were there touring. So all we could do is take a horse-drawn carriage from our hotel to the Colosseum and then to the Vatican. While we were at the Colosseum, we're walking around and looking at all the architecture and the history and so on, and we were a little taken back. Some of us were just concerned or thinking about what happened in that Colosseum to some we would call our brethren who were persecuted and slaughtered, martyrs that were killed for what they believe in. I mean, that would be the ultimate in commitment. What we found out was kind of interesting is that the Colosseum was built in 75 AD and or finished, and that's when they actually began the games and gladiator things and so on in there, and that's when some of the, from that point forward is when some of the Christians were killed. But the early Christians, that persecution under Nero was actually happened in some place called Circus Maximus, which was underneath the Vatican. The Vatican was actually built right on top of Circus Maximus, which was interesting for us to find out that church was actually built on the blood of the martyrs. But the idea that you would go to your death for what you believe in is something that's kind of lost in our society today. Doesn't seem like that commitment is held true for most religions, let alone anything in life. How do you know that you will die for what you believe in? How does anyone know that they will die for what they believe in? The Greek word for testimony in the New Testament is martyria, and that's where we get the word martyr from. It's a testimony. It means to be a witness. Their actions, those who died for what they believe in, spoke for them. In the way that they died, but also especially in the way that they lived. Look at Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's an interesting command that Christ gives us. He says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean trials and tribulations that will come upon you. Your cross is largely yourself. All of your weaknesses, all of your faults, all of your fears, all the wrong decisions that you've made in your life that you need to fix as you move forward, you're carrying that old man with you for the rest of your life. And hopefully, he's on that cross. He's been crucified with Christ, and you're carrying him. And you got to battle him and fight him, just like you would have to do a cross if you were carrying it. It's a burden that you will carry with you. And in the process of carrying that cross, you build strength against it. And you know, because you fight this battle every day of your lives, you pick up that cross and you go forward every day. Verse 24, for so whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This is not about seeking to save your life. Christianity is largely about giving that life up. A recognition of value that the next life means more than the one we're in. Verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. We are to live by Christ's command here to give up our lives. We have to carry our crosses daily. Dying for Christ is the ultimate witness. But a martyr's life is a witness for Christ long before that life is threatened by death. Why is that? Let's go to Luke 14 here. Luke 14, 26 through 27. Another instruction from Jesus. It says, Luke 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, cannot be disciplined by me, cannot learn the discipline of being a Christian. Does this mean that he wants us to hate our parents, hate the concept of family? Obviously not. What he's saying here, and this word hate means to love less by comparison, to make a value judgment as to what is the most valuable thing in your life, above even parents, friends, family, others that you've made committed to. What is your first commitment in your life? Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, the reference to the cross. If our conduct in life is a witness, is a martyr, then our conduct in death will be as well. When do you make a commitment to God? When do you make that commitment to God and his way of life? Do you do that at your baptism? Do you do that when you ask the minister to start counseling for baptism? When is that commitment made?
I'm just guessing at your death.
At your death?
Well, yeah, because God says that the death of the saints is precious because it's like confirmed that you're...
In a way, yes. In a way, as we read in Romans 6, we die with Christ. And baptism is a symbol of the death of the old man. You have to come to the point where you make a value judgment that the life ahead of you that he's promising us is more valuable than the life you're now in. That takes maturity. You're not going to do it at age 10 or 11 or earlier or even very young. You have to be very mature for this decision. We generally counsel 18, 19, or 20 or older so that you know what you're getting into. The experiences of repentance and belief have to be obvious. That takes time. It takes experience. So yes, but to a large part, it does happen at death. However, that's more a confirmation. When a martyr dies for what they believe in, that's a confirmation of how they lived. They made the choice and the commitment to that well earlier than that, early on in their Christian conversion, that they will live for Christ. They committed their lives to Christ. It's no big deal that they have to die for him. They've already made that decision when they died in baptism. As with marriage, committing to God and his way comes well before baptism. Baptism is a confirmation of that commitment. It's symbolically dying with Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, being immersed into the name of God. That's a commitment you make well before the actual immersion or being dunked in that water. It's a commitment you make now to study it, to understand it. What does repentance mean? Are you got a firm handle on that? What does it mean to truly have faith, to truly believe in God's word and practice it? That commitment is made early on in your life, and it progresses toward that confirmation of that commitment in baptism. If you're not committed to your marriage now, you will give up all kinds of things, pieces of your heart, actions and things that you should be doing, affections and so on that should be reserved for your marriage and your mate in marriage. You will share them now. And the worst part of that is to give your heart. Because if you do that with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people before you meet the one that God wants you to marry, what will you have left to give? And how much more hurt and hindered you will be in making a commitment to that individual. It's the same with baptism. If you think that you can live one way right now, completely different, but not being committed to that point in time when you will confirm that commitment with God in baptism, you will not be ready for it when it happens. You won't even see it coming. That commitment is made much, much earlier. It's made now. As the institution of marriage is committed to before the day we say, I do, the institution of baptism is committed to well before we are actually dunked in that water. Remember these verses. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have. Cling to it. Focus on it now so that no one will take your crown. And then lastly, Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.